You are probably not being the greatest husband that you can be for your wife. You need to learn to be stronger. And when I say stronger, I'm speaking specifically on an emotional level. You have to learn to be a pillar and a rock for your wife if you ever want to have a stable and healthy relationship. Used to be that men understood this. It has gone by the wayside. Maybe something about equality or feminism or the trans movement, I don't know. But there's this feeling of, I don't know how to handle my wife, so I'm just going to stay away. I'm going to be distant. Or sometimes men have become the more needy ones in relationships, and that's also not healthy, right? Your wife juggles a lot in her head, and she needs someone who can help her carry the load. So let's talk about the importance of being stronger in a relationship for your wife, right? The importance of the emotional support. And then we're also going to talk about understanding your wife's emotional needs and the common barriers. They're very, very common to being emotionally supportive. And so you can recognize where those hurdles are for yourself and how to become finally a better support pillar. And so hopefully with that, we'll kind of dive into some problems you might have, how you can fix them, and the amazing change you'll see in your relationship as a result. So we talked about it a little bit right at the top of this video, but you have to recognize that there are changing roles in relationships. It's not just about who makes more money or who's the breadwinner or who's the parent, but there's a natural dynamic shift where there aren't clearly defined roles in relationships anymore. And to me, that's very sad. The hardest jobs I've ever had before I was in this line of work were when I didn't really understand what my job was. You know, I'd come up and I'd be in marketing or I'd be in sales. But is my job to find new prospects, or is it to pitch them, or is it to do the follow-up, or is it to do the customer fulfillment, right? Or in marketing, well, do I do everything? If I did everything, I can't do anything because nothing would ever get done. You have to set your roles. And I go as far as to breaking it down and putting it on paper. So really understanding what your role is. And when it comes to the male-female dynamic, it's a bit of a controversial position to take. So I hope I don't offend anybody, but I feel personally that men need to be the emotional rock of the family. Now, women are usually the emotional rock for the children, and that's appropriate, but someone needs to hold all that weight and all that heavy load for your wife. And you need to be it as her husband. You need to be that strong, supportive one. So, the other thing you have to understand is that you have to listen without fixing. Men have a hard time with this. They have a hard time with this, right? We are problem solvers by nature. The way society and the workforce interacts with their employees and with men in general is that here's a problem, come up with a solution, implement the solution. A lot of times, emotional support is about knowing when your job is not to solve the problem and just to share the load, just to take some of that weight off. And I'll talk a little bit more about how you can do that in a moment, but know that there is a distinction there. And if you're the kind of person who's always looking to solve the problem, stop. Stop that. Your wife doesn't want that most of the time. Sure, she's going to want it some of the times, but I'll show you how to figure that out. And the last thing is building trust, right? This is the reason emotional support is so important. It builds trust. If someone feels like they can come to you with anything and you have their back emotionally and you can share that weight, they trust you with solving the problem. They solve you with sharing the problem, right? The worst thing you can have in a relationship is if the person doesn't have your emotional support, and then they hide things from you. They hide the fact that the bills aren't being paid on time, or that the school has a problem with one of your children, or that sexually they're not fulfilled, or that their family has an issue with you. I mean, there's a myriad of problems, and if they don't feel like they can come to you and have that emotional support pillar, someone who's strong and can absorb almost anything thrown at them, they will start hiding things from you, and that leads to a lack of trust in general and a lack of a relationship in general. It's a very, very bad spiral to go down. So let's understand your wife's emotional needs, right? This goes back to how you can kind of interact. The first thing is, we use this word a lot in therapy and counseling, and it kind of gets overused, right? But I almost cringe saying it, you can tell, because some people use it wrong. But it's a good tool, active listening. A lot of the times we're like la-di-da about things and we don't really know, you know, what's really being said, or we're kind of half paying attention. There's a difference between that and sitting down, focusing, maintaining eye contact, really listening. As someone who sees people in private practice, I've had to get very good at active listening. And then when I go home, sometimes I'm just out of energy and I have to remind myself, no, your child wants to connect or your wife wants to connect. It's time for you to lock in. Tell me more. A tip I can give you for active listening is play the curious game. Why are you feeling this way? Oh, how interesting. What else? Tell me more. Those curious questions, right? If something is boring to you, chances are you're not understanding it. It's not that the other person is boring necessarily, especially if it's your wife, right? It's not that she's boring. You don't get the dynamics of what she's saying. My wife comes to me and says, I'm mad at my mom, for example. It could sound boring. Oh, another wife complaining about her mother. But you're not understanding the nuance. And if you got emotionally invested by asking questions through active listening, you would start seeing it differently. Empathy over sympathy. You need to start feeling what the person is feeling and really relating to the struggles instead of just offering pity, sympathy. Oh, that's too bad, right? Sometimes that means relating it to things that have happened in your own life. So if you're, you know, if my wife comes to me and says, I'm having problems with my mom, I could say, I know what you're going through. You remember that time I wrote my mom this long email and she didn't respond for a couple of days. That's so hard. I can't imagine going through that again right now. And I can only imagine what you're going through, right? That kind of empathy goes a long way. So you can do it by relating things from your own life. You can do it by saying, you know, if I were in your shoes, blah, 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 I would feel horrible. I'd feel like my, you know, like, what's this relationship? I don't know. But you have to kind of let them know that you are really making a concerted effort to feeling what they're feeling. And then along with that, especially if you're going to start relating it to something in your own life, you have to be very careful not to kind of cross the boundary of self-expression, right? It's all about encouragement. The only reason that I would ever bring anything up in a private practice session with a patient would be from my life. So something personal would be because I feel like it's valuable as a point of comparison. And that's really the only reason it should ever come up. And if someone's complaining about something, or even if they're excited about something, you don't want to steal their thunder. And if they're upset about something, you don't want to minimize their issue by talking about your own problems. You're bringing it up for the sole purpose of saying, I feel you. I understand. This was helpful to me. Is this helpful to you? Right. So that's a big part of it. And you need to kind of get good at understanding where that line is and kind of get your foot out of your own mouth. And if you notice yourself talking about yourself, you need to stop, because that's not what your wife needs, right? So what are some common hurdles? What are some common barriers that men have to being emotionally supportive? So there are some misconceptions that men have about strength, not necessarily your fault, right? Again, a lot of this is societal, but masculinity is often about stoicism. It's often connected to a lack of empathy, right? Where that doesn't matter. Everything bounces off me. There's resiliency. But in a romantic relationship, especially with your wife, vulnerability and empathy are two things that show what are classically known as weaknesses, but they're not. There's a lot of bravery and courage there, right? You're basically saying, I'm gonna show you this part of me that's a little fragile because I trust you, and because even if you're going to abuse that, it's worth the risk. I know that I'm going to give you something that can hurt me, and I'm strong enough to get through it even if you do hurt me. And that's incredibly strong, right? That's more strong than someone who has to hide something all the time. Transparency is incredibly strong. There's also the fear of failure. So a lot of men have anxiety because they don't know how to respond. They don't know what to do. They're always looking for the solution. Maybe your wife has a problem that you don't know how to solve, especially if it's about her social circle. You wouldn't know how to fix her fight with Karen. You don't know what the hell Karen's thinking, right? You don't know the dynamics. They might have known each other for 20 years. But that's not your job, right? So again, we'll talk a little bit more about what to do, but that's a reason why a lot of men don't offer this, the kind of emotional support that they should. And then you might have emotional blind spots, right? You might not realize it, but you might be avoiding the problem. You might get distracted by your phone, by a hobby. You might feel detached because it's too scary. So your sense of vulnerability is so guarded that you get completely detached, right? And so you have to start recognizing those blind spots as much as you can. Obviously, they're blind spots. You might not be able to recognize it. This is where having good communication, asking your wife, do you feel like I have emotional blind spots, might come in handy. If that's too scary, or if she says, I do, but I don't know what, or I don't want to talk about it with you because I think you'll get angry, that's when a professional is really going to make a difference. So reaching out to someone like me or someone in your local area, if you don't want to do virtual or whatever, to talk about where those blind spots are and how you can overcome them. So how do we rectify this? How do we become stronger? So let's talk about the techniques and how to implement them and different tips that I can give you really quickly. I don't want to take up too much time here. So the first thing is, again, always start with empathy, not solving the problem, but feeling it. And the way you do that is you mimic the energy. So if your wife's excited, you get excited with her. If your wife is sad, you come in with the sad face. You're trying to literally mirror the energy that she has, because that means that you're connecting, you're sharing. You know, when two people are close, when we talk about two people being close, when we hear that, we think, oh, they spend a lot of time together. It's not really what it means, right? Because you can't say that two ideas are close. And really, when we talk about a person isn't a physical presence alone. They are an idea, right? A concept of who I am. Look, when we die, my body's there, but I'm not there anymore. So the kind of the essence of who we are, you can call it energy, you can call it a soul, is not physical. So when two people are close, it means that they are close, they are similar. When you think about two ideas, right? Ideas don't have a physical entity at all. They're weightless electrical charges, right? So an idea, if you talk about two ideas being close, it's not that they're in the same room, it's that they're similar. And so if you want to get close to somebody, you have to get similar to them. It doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your individuality. Again, you can't become who they are. There's always going to be your own identity there. So you don't have to worry about losing yourself. But in those moments where you want to connect, you become similar to them. Unless you feel like they're in a very destructive pattern and then you try and get them out of it, that's possible too. But you should always start with that empathy. And my advice, which some people will disagree with, is never offer to solve the problem, right? At least not right away. If your wife is wanting for you to solve something, she'll ask most of the time, right? You'll talk and talk and talk, and she'll go, I don't need you to I need you to help. That will come out of your wife's mouth, I promise, right? Think about the last time she had to change a light bulb or reach something that was too high for her and you didn't have a step stool around. If you're assuming you're the taller one in the relationship, right? She asks. She doesn't say, oh, I can't reach this. And you know, your job isn't to go, oh, that's too bad, and then walk away. It's, oh, that's too bad. And she says, no, can you just get it for me? She'll say it, okay? And if you feel like you've offered as much empathy as you can and the conversation's reached a lull, you could say, is there anything I can do to help, right? And that's a very safe thing to say after you've been empathetic. So that's kind of the general way to handle it. I mean, that if you practice that order of things, you'll kind of solve most of the issues. Other than that, or once you've mastered that, it's really about showing consistency, being emotionally present, right? And offering that kind of support on a regular basis, because you become that rock. You become that strong husband that every wife really does want. I mean, wouldn't you want that from your wife too? If you ran into something that's emotionally difficult, you want someone who'll actually listen. Chances are they're better at it than you, right? That's just the way men and women are. Not always, but I would say most of the time. The other thing is to learn, to adapt. Right? Ask what specific type of support your wife wants. Is there anything I can do? Start taking note of the things she typically likes, right? So a lot of the times when you say, is there anything I could do? You might go, well, I don't know. Right? But if you start noticing that, oh, well, you know, if I do a little bit more of the housework, it seems to be a relief. Do you want me to do that? Suggesting, pitching, offering things that you know have worked in the past, right? And adapting, because life changes, right? One day you don't have kids, then suddenly you have kids for 25 years, then suddenly they're out of the house. I mean, it happens faster than you can think. And then the last thing that I'll suggest, and I'll leave you with this, is to learn to build emotional resilience. So when your wife is upset, when your wife is, don't make it about you. A lot of men have these blind spots, have these aversions to vulnerability because they're worried about how it's going to affect them. You're stronger than you're letting yourself think. Most of you are, right? And you need to understand that whatever it is, you're going to get through it. And so if you can sit there and say, what's wrong? And your wife says, it's you, you're the problem. And you don't take it personally. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What can I do to help? Right? That's a sign that you've really arrived, that you've gone the distance, you've made the transformation, and you can be that rock and that pillar that your wife really wants and needs. It's not always easy to get there. Building resiliency kind of requires you to be brutally honest with your shortcomings, but you can do it. And oftentimes a therapist or a counselor can help if you're struggling with it. But you can, you know, a lot of the work is done on your own. I'm going to be honest with you. Even if you met with a therapist every week for an hour, at the end of the day, there's still 23 hours left in that day and 24 hours left in the other 6 days of the week where you need to do the work yourself. But you can do it. You can become resilient. You can become confident. And when you get those things, you can be vulnerable. You can be open, and it's not as scary. And you can be the kind of emotional pillar that your wife is really looking for. Hope this was helpful. My name is Dr. John DeBock, and I will see you next time.